We are beginning Daf Nun Beis from the base, 9 lines from the bottom, the 5th Perek, Kol HaMenachos Bois Masa. This Perek deals with general halachas concerning various types of menachas. Says the Mishnah, Kol HaMenachos Bois Masa, that all of the menachas in the Torah are brought as masa. The menachas consist of a combination of flour and water, and of course if they are left, they will become chomet. The Mishnah tells us the halacha is that they must be masa, and therefore they must be baked before they are allowed to become chomet. The only exceptions to this are the chometz, which is brought along with the korban toida. When a person brings a korban toida, he brings with it 40 loaves of 4 different kinds, each kind 10 loaves. 3 of these kinds, in other words, 30 of the loaves, are chometz. As the Torah says, he is to bring chalos matzahs, blue lois b'shemen, he is to bring loaves of matzah which are mixed with oil, rikike matzahs, meshuchim b'shemen, to bring wafers of matzah, thin wafers of matzah which are anointed, which are smeared with oil, and he is to bring soilus morveches, and he is to bring also a kind which is boiled before it's baked. These are all matzah. One of the kinds is chometz, as the Torah says explicitly in Vayikra Zion, al chalos lechem chometz yachriv korbonai, that he is matzah his korban toida with loaves of bread which is chometz. So that is an exception to the rule that kol menachos bois matzah is the chometz shebe toida, the one of the 4 kinds of lachme toida. Now of course none of the lachme toida are placed on the mizbeach. It is the avoda, the hakrava that is done to the korban toida itself, which sanctifies the lechem. Then one of each of the 4 kinds of lechem is taken off and waved. Snufa is done and is given to the kohen, and the rest is eaten by the bialim. The remaining 9 of each kind is eaten by the bialim. But of course, there's nothing placed on the mizbeach because the Torah says explicitly that kol se'or v'chol dvash k'tir v'menu isha l'ashem, that nothing which is chametz can be placed on the mizbeach. So although these are exceptions to the rule of kol menachos bois masa, but there is nothing from them which is chametz which is placed on the mizbeach. The other exception is ushtei halechem, the shtei halechem, which is a mincha of the tzibur, which is brought on Shavuos, along with the 7 kivsei atzeres. There too, the Torah says explicitly in Parshas Emor that you are to bring them soilus tihyena chometz teyofena, that they are to be made of flour, are to be baked in the form of chometz. There too, nothing of the shtei halechem is placed on the mizbeach. The avod is done to the 7 kvasim that are brought with the lechem, the kivsei atzeres, and that sanctifies the shtei halechem, and the shtei halechem are eaten by the kohanim. There's no part of it which is placed on the mizbeach. Tosis points out that in Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, in our Tosis it is printed Mem Zayin Amud Beis, is actually Mem Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara says that the Shtei HaLechem are referred to as Mincha, because the Pasuk says, V'hakrivchem Mincha Chadosh L'Hashem, when you will bring a new Mincha to Hashem, this is talking about the Shtei HaLechem which is brought on Shavuos. The Gemara there discusses the Pasuk of Kominchas Koyen Kolotiyah, that any Mincha brought by a Koyen has to be completely burned on the Mizbeach, and discusses the question of whether this is also called Mincha. So the Gemara says that the Shtei HaLechem are referred to as Mincha, because it says, V'hakrivchem Mincha Chadosh L'Hashem. However, the Gemara says that the Lachmei Toider are not called Mincha at all. We don't find that they are called Mincha in the Torah. So Tosfos points out that the wording of the Mishnah is somewhat difficult, because the Mishnah says, Kol HaMenachos Bois Masa, all of the menachos are brought as matzah, except for chometz shebetoida and shtei alechem, when in fact, as places the Gemara says there, that the chometz shebetoida, that the lachmei toida, are altogether not referred to as menachos. So this is not an exception to the rule of kol menachos bois matzah. They're not referred to as menachos at all. So places points out that the wording of the Mishnah is somewhat difficult, but Al-Kopana, the Mishnah does have to tell us this chiddush, that in fact, there is one kind of lachmei toida, which is chometz, and the other exception is the shtei alechem. Now the Mishnah goes on to describe how we make this kind of lachmei toida and the shtei halechem into chometz. Now we know the great care that has to go into baking masses to make sure that they don't become chometz. Now this same care applies also to the menachos. The halach is that they must be masa, they cannot become chometz, and they have to be very careful to not allow it to become chometz. But nonetheless, when it comes to those menachos, as our Mishnah calls them, the lachmei toida, the chometz shebe toida, and the shtei halechem, where the Torah requires that they be chometz, here, it's not enough merely to leave them there for 18 or 22 minutes and to say, well, here they're chometz. They would be osur as chometz on Pesach. A person who eats them would be mechuyev koreth. And therefore, this is a kiyum of what the Torah says, that they should be baked as chometz. As the Tiferes Yisrael explains, since the Torah here wants them to be chometz, it means, number one, we have to be sure that they're chometz. It's not just enough to be choishish that maybe they become chometz by sitting there. They have to actually be sure that they're chometz. And number two, as we see in the Mishnah, the Tiferes Yisrael says that it's a mitzvah min hamuvchar that it actually rise properly, that it be fully leavened. And it has to be rise in the form of actual chametz. When a person bakes bread and he allows it to rise, that's considered to be full chametz. That's what the Torah wants when it says that these should be baked in the form of chametz. So therefore explains to the Tiferes Yisrael that it's not enough just to leave it around for a while so that it would become chometz, it's no longer matzah, but rather the Mishnah insists that it be made into something which is fully leavened, it be caused to rise properly. Now this is done by using se'or. Se'or, as we know from Masechta Pesachim, and the psukim concerning Pesach, is sourdough. This is a piece, a small piece of dough, which has been left around for a long time, or has been left in a warm place, and it becomes very sour, very fermented, and it is then used as leavening for other dough. We take a small piece of the sour and put it into a larger dough that a person is making, we mix it into the dough, and then it serves as leavening for that dough, and it causes it to rise. So this is used instead of yeast. This is called sour. So our Mishnah says that this is what has to be used to make these menachas, the chometz shebetoyda and the shnei lechem into chometz, we must use se'or. However, the problem is that the chometz shebetoyda as well as the shnei lechem have a very exact shear. The Torah says that each one of the loaves of the chometz shebetoyda and of the shnei lechem is to be made from an isorin soilus, an isorin of flour. It has to be exact. So although the easiest thing would be to bring some se'or from the person who's bringing the chometz shebetoyda or the kohenim who are bringing the shtei lechem, to bring some se'or from outside, because there they can find se'or which has been around for a long time and has become properly fermented so that it will be very effective being used as se'or and cause these menachas to rise to become chometz. So the simplest thing would be to take a piece of se'or from outside and put it into this chometz shebetoyda or the shtei lechem as it is being kneaded with the water. This cannot be done because this would be adding to the shear of an isarin. The shear of isarin has to be exact, and therefore an isarin of flour is measured for each one of the loaves of the chomesh b'toida and each one of the shtei halechem, and therefore we can't take a piece of se'or from the outside and merely add it to that dough, because then we would be adding onto the shear. Therefore the Mishnah's custom says, a machoik is in the Mishnah how this should be done. Rabbi Meir says, ha-se'or boidelehen misoichen, that the se'or is created by boidelehen misoichen. Rashi places says the word boida, asher boda milibu, means to take out. That he takes out for them from within the isarin of flour. He takes off a little bit of the isarin of flour. He measures an entire isarin of flour of soilus for the mincha, and then he takes off a little bit. Umachamsan, and he makes that, he ferments that, and he makes it into se'or. Rashi says he makes it into se'or by taking off a small piece, mixing it with water, and then putting it there in the soilus, in the flour, that presumably keeps it warm to an extent, and it will become sour, and then it will be able to be used as se'or. So that's what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Yehuda says, Afi einam in a muvchor. That's, even that, if he does that, that's not the best way to do it, because that's not the best quality of se'or. This is a fresh se'or, it's been made right now from this flour. True, he takes off a small piece, and he leaves it around for a while in a warm place, he puts it into the flour so that it should sit there and become fermented, and it can be used as se'or, but the se'or is not the best possible. It's much better if he can bring se'or from his house, which has been there for a long time, and use that as se'or, because that will be more effective. Elder rather says of Yehuda, maybe as a se'or, he brings se'or from his house, and that se'or is proper se'or, it's been there for a long time. And he puts it into this measuring vessel of an isarin, he puts the se'or inside, and then he fills up this measuring vessel of an isarin with flour. So he doesn't add it to the isarin of flour, he doesn't add this to that measure. To the contrary, he makes this bit of se'or that he brings from his house part of the measure, and then it will become part of the mincha. They'll sanctify the whole thing later, of course, in a klishar, and it will become part of the mincha. He puts this into the midah, and then he fills the midah with the rest of the flour, and then he measures the full isaran together with this se'or. Amruloi, they said to him, Afi hoisuch haseira or yaseira, that it too would end up, this mincha would end up either lacking from its complete shear of an isaran, or having more than its complete shear of an isaran. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara, this means because this bit of se'or, which he brought from his house, which is a mixture of flour and water, has a different texture than the rest of the flour, and therefore it has a different volume. As the Gemara explains, that if it's been made with a little bit of water, then it's more condensed than flour. It has a smaller volume. The same amount of flour will take up a smaller volume than it does in the form of flour, because it's been mixed with water, and the water holds it together, and it's more condensed than the flour itself. If it's been mixed with a lot of water, then to the contrary, then it'll take up more volume, it'll take up more space than flour would. This flour that's mixed with a lot of water, because it has a lot of water in it, takes up more space. Therefore, say the Chachamim to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's very possible that when he is putting the se'or and making that part of the measure, when he's measuring the isarin, that what he has is not really an isarin of flour, because part of it has a different volume from flour. It will either end up that it's chaseira, that it's mixing from the full isarin of flour. That will be in a case where it was mixed with a lot of water. So there is, in this piece of dough less flour than would be the same, that less flour than there would be in the same volume, so therefore the yisurin is missing flour, or it will end up being yisera. If it was mixed with a little bit of water, then it's more condensed than the flour is, so it comes out that there's more flour here than there would have been in a full yisurin of flour, because he put in this piece of dough. Therefore they say that since this makes inexact our measure of an isaron, that even though the sor will be better and more effective if he brings the sor already made from the outside, this cannot be done. And therefore, we say, like Rabbi Meir says, that Rabbi Meir is right, that we take off a little bit of the flour from the isaron, we measure a complete isaron of flour, and we take off a little bit, and we make that into sor. Al kaponim, everyone agrees that we can't just add a piece of sor to an entire isaron of flour, because that would be making the mincha into a mincha yisairis more than an isaron. However, we have two opinions in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says that he measures the isaron as a complete isaron of flour. He insists that the measure be made with everything in the form of flour, that nothing be made into the form of any kind of dough before, because that would make the measure inexact. So in spite of the fact that this fresh sa'or that he makes in the Azara won't be the most effective and the best, he says that's the best we can do. That's the kind of sa'or we have to use. That's the sheet of Rav Meir and the Omrulai. Rav Yehuda, however, holds that note, that we don't worry about the fact that he's measuring the isaron and that part of it is being measured in the form of sa'or, and therefore it's better for him to bring the sa'or from the outside and to measure it together with the rest of the flour, to put the sa'or into the measure and then fill it up with the flour to an isaron, so that the sa'or will be of a better quality and will accomplish in a better way the chimutz of this mincha. Says the Gemara, Bo minei Rabbi Preda mi Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Preda asked Rabbi Ami a question. Minayin l'kol ha-menochas shehem bois matzah. How do we know that all of the menochas have to be brought as matzah? Now, Tosfos points out a glaring kasha on this Gemara. In the following Mishnah, Daf Nun Hei Omid Beis, the Mishnah says explicitly that when one makes a mincha, he makes it with warm water, and he has to be careful that it doesn't become chametz. And the Mishnah itself says, brings a pasuk for this, that it's not allowed to become chametz, because it says in the pasuk in Vayikra Beis, Kol ha-mincha shetekriv l'Hashem l'siyasa chametz, that any mincha which are being makriv to Hashem cannot be made chametz. So what is the question and the discussion in this Gemara of Minayim L'kol HaMenachas Shehem Bo'es Matzah? The Mishnah, the following Mishnah, quotes us a pasuk which tells us that the menachas cannot be made chametz. Says Tosfos springs from Rabbeinu Tam, that Mishnah is just telling us that the menachas are not allowed to be chametz. But our Mishnah, our Gemara is asking, the question that Rabbi Preda asked Rabbi Ami is, how do we know that it has to be matzah? Because as we'll see in our Gemara, there is such a thing as an in-between stage, which is neither matzah nor is it chametz. The Gemara gives two cases. If it is something which is partially leavened, and another case is something which has been boiled before it became chametz, and it's no longer able to become chametz, but it's not considered matzah either. So although that Mishnah brings the pasuk l'siyasa chametz, that it can't be made chametz, the question here is on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says b'is matzah, that it must be matzah. And the question is, how do we know that it has to be matzah? Tosfos, however, comments on this pshat of Rabbeinu Tam, that it's dochuk u'megumgum, that it's difficult and unclear, because it doesn't work so well with the flow of the sugya, as we will see. That is the pshat of Rabbeinu Tam. Now we go back to the Gemara. Bo'minei Rabbi Predom, Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Preda asked Rabbi Ami, minayin l'kol ha-menachas shein bo'es matzah. How do we know that all of the menachas must be matzah? So Rabbi Ami interjected, minolon, you're asking, how do we know this? The mincha, which has written by it that it has to be matzah, so of course, it says that it has to be matzah. In other words, there are a number of menachas where the Torah says explicitly that they are to be matzah. The minchas matzah, the minchas machmas, as Rashi brings. So there, it says that they have to be matzah. The menachas where it doesn't say explicitly that it has to be matzah, ksivba, it says concerning it, dafnun gimel, zois toiras ha-mincha, that this is the Torah of the mincha, this is the general pasuk concerning all the menachas, hakrev oiso b'nei arin lifnei Hashem al pnei ha-mizbeach, that the b'nei arin should be makavit before Hashem by the mizbeach, v'haniseres b'menu yoichlu arin avodah, that which is left over from it, after the part is burned on the Mizbech, the Koimus is burned on the Mizbech, shall be eaten by Aaron and his sons. Matzah, Seyochel, is to be eaten as matzah. So it says there that the mincha is made in the form of matzah, and that's why it's Teres Mincha, that's speaking about menachas in general. So what's your question? There are menachas where it says explicitly that they have to be matzah, and even the ones where it doesn't say it explicitly, there's a general pasuk that says, Zoyz Teres Mincha, and it says Matzah, Seyochel. Amaleh, Rabbi Preda told him, mitzvah loy kami boili, that my question is not that it's a mitzvah to make it in the form of matzah. That I see from these psukim, they're psukim that say that it has to be matzah, this pasuk that says loy tzaris ha-mimchen, it says matzah is teyochel, I see that there's a mitzvah for it to be made in the form of matzah. Ki kami boili la'akiv, my question is, how do we know that this is ma'akiv? How do we know that if the menacha, if the mincha is not made as matzah, that it's possible completely that this is ma'akiv the mincha? Amaleh, so Rabbi Ami told him, La'akev nami, Steve, loy se'ofe chometz, that for being ma'akev, for saying that the mincha is possible, if it's not made as matzah, there's also a pasuk. It says in the pasuk, lo yisei ofe chometz, that it shouldn't be baked as chometz, and we learn, ela matzah, that this means rather, it has to be matzah. Because in the pasuk before it mentions matzah, and then if in this pasuk it says, lo yisei ofe chometz, it means, and don't do it chometz, rather do, as mentioned before in the pasuk, that it has to be matzah. So this is as if the pasuk would say, don't make it in any other way but matzah. Maski for Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda asked on this, ve'ema, and let's say, lo yisei ofe chometz, ela seyer. Let's not say that this pasuk means to say that don't make it into chametz, but rather it don't make it anything other than matzah. It has to be matzah, and anything other than matzah is possible. Say that the pasuk is saying don't bake it in chametz, but it can be made in the form of seor. Now, seor is not to be confused with seor. Seor is, of course, chametz gomor, that sourdough, that's something which has been fermented for a long time and is used to make other doughs into chametz. This is seor, and seor is something which has been partially fermented, which is partial chametz. And halachic status is that of chametz nuksha, of partial chametz, of weak chametz, which is osur on Pesach, but for which there is no chiyuv karet. Seyar is discussed by the Mishnah in the third parak of Psachim Daf Memches, where the Mishnah says that seyar yisorif, that this seyar, which doesn't have the full status of chametz, nonetheless has to be burnt before Pesach, meaning that it's osur b'hanah, it's osur b'achilu u'b'hanah. However, ha'oich le'patah mikaret, that if someone eats it on Pesach, he's not mechuyev karet as he would be if he would eat actually chametz. So on the one hand, it is forbidden both b'achilu u'b'hanah, but if a person eats it on Pesach, he's not mechuyev karet. And the Mishnah brings a machloikas between the Chachamim who are identified in the Gemara as Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda. What is the definition of seyar? Rabbi Yehuda says that the definition of seyar is a dough which has karne chagovim, which has been allowed to ferment to the extent that it has formed two semi-parallel lines or cracks on its surface. This is called karne chagovim. This resembles the antennae of grasshoppers. So this means that it has two lines going along it. That is considered to be seyar. Anything less than that, even if it is hichsifu panav, even if its surface has become hardened and whitened, is still considered to be matzah. But if it has karne chagovim, if it has these two semi-parallel lines, then it is in the category of seyar, and it is concerning that which the Mishnah says, that it is also b'chilu b'hanah, but if someone eats it, he is not mechuyiv karet. Anything more than that, if there's more than this minimum of two lines, then it is chometz gomer, and if someone eats it, he is mechuyiv karet. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir holds that karne chagovim, that if it has these two lines, that's already considered to be chametz gomer. And it's the lesser level of chimutz, that of a chsifu panov, that its surface has become hardened and whitened, but it doesn't actually hasn't formed any cracks at all, not even two parallel cracks. That's, we say, what the Mishnah is speaking about when it is talking about seyar. And it's concerning that which the Chachamim told us, that it is seyar yisarif, that it's also b'achilu b'hanah, but if someone eats it, he's not mechuyev karet, because that's not chametz gomer. But that which is referred to by Reb Yehuda as seyar, when there is karne chagovim, according to Reb Meir, is already chametz gomer. So that's a machloikis tanoim in the Mishnah, says our Gemara. Now our Gemara is asking a kashra. Rav Chisda says, how can we learn from the pasuk of v'yisei ofe chametz that it necessarily has to be matzah? Maybe all we can learn from the pasuk is that it cannot be chametz. It's possible if it's chametz, but it could be made in the form of seyar, which is not chametz, and we'll say that that's kosher l'menachos, and we don't know necessarily that it has to be matzah. Gemara asks concerning this question, seyar the man. Seyar according to which definition? According to the definition of Rabbi Meir, or according to the definition of Rabbi Yehuda? Eat the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Yehuda, if it means the seyar as it is defined by Rabbi Meir, following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, if we're talking about the seyar of Rabbi Meir, which is hichsifu panav, when it doesn't have any cracks at all, but rather it's only that the surface has hardened and whitened, and according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, matzah ma'algihi, that's full matzah. That's perfectly good matzah. So if we would say that the pasuk is telling us that it has to be seyar, well, that's the same as matzah. Then there is no other category. That, in fact, is matzah. We're saying that cannot be chometz. Rather, it has to be matzah because the seyar of Rabbi Meir, namely when it's only hichsifu panav, is according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is matzah ma'alya. Either Rabbi Yehuda l'Rabbi Meir, if you mean that the seyar, which as it's defined by Rabbi Yehuda, which is karne chagovim, when it has these two lines, these two cracks, according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, chometz ma'alihu, that's full-fledged chometz. That's total chometz, and therefore, again, you wouldn't have the question. You can't possibly say that the Torah is saying, don't bring chometz, but bring seyar, because seyar, this kind of seyar, karne chagovim, according to Rabbi Meir, is full chometz. Eid Rabbi Meir, li Rabbi Meir, if it means seyar as it's defined by Rabbi Meir, Hichsifu Panav, according to his own opinion, concerning which the Mishnah in Pesachim says that Haseir Yisaref, that it is to be burnt, it's also Bachilu Banav, but the person who eats it is not Mechuyiv Karis, Mid Loku Alei, since we find, according to Rabbi Meir, that if someone eats it on Pesach, that he is Mechuyiv Malkus, because Rabbi Meir's opinion is that if someone eats Chometz Nuksha on Pesach, he's Mechuyiv Malkus, Chometzu, then this too is considered to be Chometz. Although it's not full Chometz, the person who eats it is not Mechuyiv Karis, but since he is Mechuyiv Malkus, then it too is considered to be Chometz. And again, we can't say that the Torah is saying that the Mincha can't be Chometz, but it could be Seir, because according to him, Seir, although the person who eats it is not Mechuyiv Karis, the person who eats it on Pesach is not Mechuyiv Karis, it is still Chometz, because the person who eats it on Pesach is Mechuyiv Malkus. This is a reference to a Braisa, which the Gemara in Pesachim brings on Daf Mem Gimel, where we find that Rabbi Meir's opinion is that if someone eats this Seir, which according to him is Seir, that he is Mechuyiv Malkus. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Ella says the Gemara, rather, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda. It means the Seir of Rabbi Yehuda, the Seir of Karnei Chagovim, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that he says concerning that Seir, that it's also Bachilu Bahanov, but the person who eats it is not Mechuyiv Karis, and not only is it not Mechuyiv Karis, but we don't find, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he's even Mechuyiv Malkus. We find a Braisa that tells us that, according to Rabbi Meir, the person who eats Chometz Nuksha, who eats his category of Seir, is Mechuyiv Malkus. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the person who eats his definition of Seir is not only not Mechuyiv Karis, but he's not even Mechuyiv Malkus. So it's an in-between status. It's not actually considered to be Chometz. We see that the person who eats it is not Mechuyiv, not neither Karis nor Malkus, but it's also not Matzeh. It's also Bachilu B'Hanoah on Pesach. So the question remains, Rav Chista is asking this as a question, how do we know from the pasuk that says, Lo Si'ofa Chometz, that the Menachos must be Matzah? Perhaps all we should say is, Lo Si'ofa Chometz, that it can't be Chometz. If it's Chometz, it's possible, but it could be Seir, because Seir is not Chometz. Although it's not Matzah, it's still Kosher. How do we know that we are to learn from this, that it must be Matzah, and that in fact Seir would be disqualified from being used as a Mincha, because it is not Matzah? So that's the first question. The Gemara asks the question of Rav Chista. Maskif for Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Rav Nachman Yitzchok asked a similar question. Let's say that we are to learn the pasuk, not l'seyofa chometz ela matzah, and learn from it that it must be matzah, but rather it should not be baked as chometz ela chalut, but it can be made in the form of chalut. Chalut means when we take the flour and we put it into boiling water, which prevents it from ever becoming chometz. We put it immediately into water which is already boiling, not into warm water and cook it with the water, but rather water which is already boiling, we throw it into the water. That's called chalut, and that prevents it from becoming chometz at all. So that won't ever become chometz, and it is not chometz, but it's also not matzah, because it's just made in a way that it can't become chometz. That's not considered to be matzah either, we see from this Gemara. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak is asking, maybe that's what we can be midayak from the pasuk, that lo yseyofa chometz, that it can't be made in the form of chometz, but if one would make it in the form of chalut, even though it's not matzah, that would still be kosher. How can we use this as a source to tell us that it has to be matzah? And if we're saying it has to be matzah, we'd be saying that chalut would not be kosher to be brought as a mincha. The Gemara says, no, how could we possibly learn the pasuk that way? Chalut mainiu. What is another way of referring to chalut? Revicha. That's revicha. That is boiling in water, which the Torah tells us should be done to certain menachos. There are certain menachos which are to be boiled in water before they are baked. If there is boiling in water, if this is to be done to the mincha, ksipa revicha, then it says in the Torah that revicha, that this boiling in water is to be done. And concerning this mincha, it doesn't say that revicha is to be done, so I understand that revicha is not to be done before it is baked. So we're asking on the question of Nachum Yitzchak, how can you suggest that the Torah would be saying, don't bake it as chometz, but rather you can bake it as chalut? It can't be done as chalut, because in the places where the Torah wants it to be done as something which is boiled in water, the Torah mentions that it's boiled in water. The Gemara says, no, Rav Nachman Ben Yitzchak's kasha is a kasha. The Ema, I will say, d'chsiv bo revicha, mitzvah revicha. Where it says in the Torah, revicha, that it's to be boiled before it's baked, there it's a mitzvah revicha, it's a mitzvah to do it in that way, by boiling it first. Udulay ksiv bo revicha, and where it doesn't say revicha, and we're learning from this pasuk l'siofa chometz that it can't be baked in the form of chometz, but it could be made in the form of revicha as cholut, iboi revicha laisi, iboi matza laisi. It means to say that if he wants, he can bring it in the form of something that was placed immediately into boiling water, something that was boiled, and is therefore not chometz, even though it's not matza. Or if he wants, he can bring matzah. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak is asking, how can you be medayek from the pasuk l'seyofa chometz, that we must bring matzah? All you can be medayek from the pasuk is that it cannot be chometz, But chalut is not chametz, even though it's not matzah. So I would say that the Torah is saying that it can't be chametz. As long as it's not chametz, it's kosher, whether it is chalut or whether it is matzah. And don't ask a question that where it is to be chalut, the Torah says revicha. That's true, that's where it's a mitzvah that it be revicha. Here it's no mitzvah that it be revicha, but I would still say that it's kosher if it is chalut. How do I know to tell me that? No, that it has to be matzah, and that chalut is disqualified from being used as a mincha because it does not have the status of matzah. The Sfasemes asks on this Gemara, that we see clearly from this Gemara, that something that is chalut, something that is placed into boiling water and not allowed to become chometz and will no longer become chometz, is not considered to be matzah. And he asks, first of all, from Gemara in Pesachim, that says that something that was boiled first is disqualified from being used for the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Pesach because it's not lechem oini, it's not poor bread because it's been cooked. If we see from this Gemara that it's not called matzah altogether, that should be the reason that the Gemara gives for it not being able to be used for the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Pesach. We see from that Gemara in Pesachim that it is considered to be matzah, it's just not considered to be lechem oini. It's not considered to be poor bread, and that's why it can't be used for the mitzvah. So he says that we see from Be'el Lechayro contradiction to this Gemara. We see that it is considered to be matzah. And another kasha he asks within our Gemara itself, how could the Gemara be saying that revicha, that something that is boiled, is placed in boiling water before it's baking, is not called matzah? We know about certain menachas that the Torah says, murbeches tiyenah, that they're to be boiled in water before they're baked, and yet we know that the rule of our Mishnah is that kol ha-menachas bois matzah, that all of the menachas are to be brought in the form of matzah, and they are all considered to be matzah. So we see that in spite of the fact that they're boiled before, then when they're baked, they are considered to be matzah. And yet our Gemara seems to be saying that something which is boiled in water, that cholut, is not considered to be matzah. That's what the Sfasemes asks on our Gemara, Ayin Shom. Al Koponim, we have here two kashas, the kasha of Rav Chista. How do we know that the Pasuk is telling us that it must be matzah? Maybe it's only telling us that it can't be chametz, but I could still say that Seir, which is neither chametz nor matzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the situation of Karnei Chagovim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, for which there is no Koros or Malkus, it's neither matzah nor is it chometz. How do I know that that's not kosher? How do I know that it has to be matzah? Maybe it's enough that it's not chometz. And the second kasha of Nachman B'Yitzchak, a similar kasha, how do I know that it excludes cholut, that it has to be matzah, and that would exclude cholut? Maybe cholut would also be good, because as long as it's not chometz, it is kosher. Maski for Ravin, Ravina asked another kasha, the Eimo, Loise Ofe Chometz. Let's say that that pasuk which says it shall not be baked in the form of chometz, Lemekem Gavra Balav Va'alma. That's to set up the person in a lav. That if he does so, he's transgressing a lav. V'isula Lemitzula. But perhaps the mincha does not become puzzle. How do we know that the pasuk is telling us that if the mincha is made in the form of chometz, that it's puzzle? Perhaps all we see from this pasuk is if the person it bakes in the form of chometz and not in the form of matzah, that he's transgressing a lav. Ella rather minolon, once again, how do we know that the mincha must be masa and that otherwise it is completely possible, completely disqualified from being used as a mincha? Kiritani, as we learned in Braisa, masa, it says in the pasuk masa tihya, that it is to be masa. It says masa yochol mitzvah. I would think that it's a mitzvah that it be masa, but that it's kosher even if it is not masa. Talmud loymar tihya. The Torah adds the word tihya, it is to be. Hakosuv kova choiva. The Torah fixed this as an obligation and said that that as a mincha must be tihya. And if it's done in any other way, if it's not matzah, then it is posel. So it is posel if it is chometz, and it's posel if it is not matzah. Even if it would be cholut, which doesn't have the status of matzah, or if it would be seir, which doesn't have the status of matzah, would also be posel, because the Torah says matzah tihya, that it must be matzah. Continues the Gemara, Bominei Rabbi Preda, Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Preda asked Rabbi Ami another question. Minayin l'kol ha-menochis sheni lo yishes b'poishrin u'mishamron shelo yachmitzu. This is a quote from the following Mishnah on Daf Nun Hei. The Mishnah says that all of the menachos are kneaded with lukewarm water, and he has to watch them that they should not become chometz. The Mishnah says that all of the menachos are kneaded in lukewarm water, and the Mishnah says that he has to watch them, that it requires shimur, that they should not become chometz. Rabbi Preda is asking Rabbi Ami, what is the source for this halacha? Now, the question of Rabbi Preda is not, how do we know that they cannot be chometz? The Mishnah itself brings a pasuk that teaches us that he cannot make them chometz. In our Gemara, we just finished a discussion. Rabbi Preda had an answer to his question of how we know that they must be matzah. The question is, as the Shita Mekubetzes explains, how do we know that halacha that the Mishnah tells us, u'mishamlun shelo yachmitzu, that it requires shimur l'shem matzah, that it has to be washed and worked with the intention of not allowing it to become chometz. Now, this is a halacha similar to that which we find concerning matzah mitzvah. We know that in order for a person to be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah on the first night of Pesach, it's not enough that he knows that this is matzah, that he was able to check through certain simonim, through certain signs, that it's matzah, that it didn't become chametz, that it's matzah, or even if he saw a goy, for example, making it, and he watched it, and he saw that it was not allowed to become chametz, that it was matzah, we know that that's not enough. Even though he knows certainly that it is not chametz, that it's matzah, that's good enough for the rest of Pesach. But that's not good to be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah on the first night of Pesach. In order to be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah, we require ushmartem es matzah, that you should watch the matzah, that it had been watched and worked with the intention of making sure that it does not become chometz, making sure that it remains matzah, with which we were able to be mekayim the mitzvah, l'shem matzah mitzvah, that has to be done with shimur, with that intention. So that's halacha concerning the matzah mitzvah of Pesach. And in this Mishnah, which says that umeshamrin shloyach mitzvah, that he has to watch that he should not become chometz, the Mishnah is telling us not just that he has to make sure that it's not chometz. It doesn't mean that he only has to watch it as an expedient to make sure that it's not chometz. It means that there's a mitzvah that it be watched and work with this intention of making sure that it's matzah and that it does not become chometz. And on that, Rabbi Preida is asking, how do we know this halacha concerning menachah? So Rabbi Preida asks, minayin lekol ha-menachah sheniloishes v'poishrin umeshamrin shelo yachmitzu. How do we know this halacha that it requires shimur shelo yachmitzu? Nilmedeno mipesach. And he asks with question, do we learn it from Pesach? Do we learn it from the matzah which is needed for the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Pesach? The chesiv, as it says over there, ushmartim es matzah, that there we know that there's a mitzvah that we require shimur on the matzah, that we have to watch it and work with it with the intention of it being matzah. Omar lei, Rabbi Ami told him, no, the source is not from Pesach, begufa ksiv. It says concerning menachas themselves, matzah tihiyah. That same pasuk which the Gemara quoted before, it says matzah tihiyah, it shall be matzah. Hachaye, bring it into being, bring it to life, so to speak. Bring it into being as matzah. It shouldn't only be matzah, but hachi, you should bring it into being as matzah, that it should be watched and made with the intention of it being matzah. The Gemara asks, "V'ho afik de la'akev." We use that word tihya to teach us that the fact that it has to be matzah is ma'akev, that if it's not matzah, that it's possible. That was the drosh of the Gemara before. Says the Gemara, "Imkein lichtev kro matzah hi." If it's only coming for that, then the Torah could have written matzah hi. The word hi would have taught us that it must be matzah, and that if it's not matzah, it's possible. My tihya. Why does it use the word tihya? Shamet minot tarte. From this, we can learn a second drosh, that the word tihya is darshan hachya, that bring it into being and do shimur for matzah. The Sfasemis points out that concerning the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Pesach, the halacha is that not only do we require shimur l'shem matzah, but we require shimur l'shem matzah's mitzvah. The shimur has to be done with the intention of using this matzah for the mitzvah of Pesach. If, for example, the shimur that it was worked with the intention that it remain matzah for a different purpose, for example, he worked with it and he made it as matzah because he wanted to use it for menachas, he then can't use it for matzah's mitzvah because it wasn't a shimur l'shem matzah's mitzvah. So not only do we require shimur l'shem matzah, but we require shimur l'shem matzah's mitzvah of Pesach. And he asks, what will be the din over here? He's in doubt, what will be the halacha concerning this halacha of menachas? Will we also say that this shimur must be with the intention of using it for menachas, that it be the shimur that it remain matzah for the mitzvah of menachas? But if, for example, he made it with the intention of it being used for something else, of it being used for the mitzvah of achilas matzah and Pesach, then it wouldn't be good for menachas, even though there was a shimur l'shem matzah? Or do we say that here we only learn from the pasuk of matzah tihiyah that it has to be made with the intention that we need shimur l'shem matzah, and that will be enough, that even if it's a shimur which is done with the intention of it being used for something else, as long as it was a shimur l'shem matzah, as long as it was watched and worked with the intention of making sure that it's matzah, not letting it become chometz, that would be enough and be kosher for menachas. He remains with a question concerning this halacha. The Gemara now continues with Amili Dagadita of Rabbi Preida. Amri le Rabbono the Rabbi Preida. The Talmidim told Rabbi Preida, Rabbi Ezra bar Breid Rabbi Avtulis, Rabbi Ezra, the grandson of Rabbi Avtulis, to who Asiri le Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that he's a 10th generation to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, to who Asiri le Ezra, that he, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is a 10th generation to Ezra Sefer, Koyabava is standing by the door and he wants to come in. Omar Rabbi Preida said, my kuli hai, what is all this? What do I need this entire introduction for? Ibar Uryan hu, yoi, if he's a ben toira, if he's a Talmud Chacham, then that's fine. Ibar Uryan ubar avon, yoi, if he is a ben toira and he is also a son of distinguished ancestors, yoi, that's fine. But the gears on the side is yoi v'yoi, that's certainly fine. V'ibar avon v'loi bar Uryan, if he's a son, if he's a descendant of illustrious ancestors, however, he's not a ben toira, he's not a Talmud Chacham, then eisha techle, then a fire should eat him. So the main point is whether he is a ben toira or not. Omulei, they said to him, Bar Uryanu, he is a ben Torah. Omulei, we said to them, lay over, lay, said, let him come up, let him come in. Chazi dehava achira daite. Rabbi Preda saw that Rabbi Ezra was in a bad mood. It was a chiradite. His mind was troubled. Pasach va'omer. So Rabbi Preda opened up and said, "Amili dagadata," in order to take away this troubled state of mind from Rabbi Ezra. It says the pasuk in Tehillim, "Amart Lashem Adoni Ota, Tevosi Bal Alecha." You say to Hashem, "You are my master. My good is not upon you." So the Mefarshim and Tehillim say that the pshat in this pasuk is that David HaMelech is speaking either to Knesset Yisrael or speaking to his own neshama and saying, "You say to Hashem, you are my master, and that the good that you do me, the good that you Rabbeinu Shalom do, is Bal Alecha. It's not really incumbent upon you." However, the Gemara splits this pasuk into two, and the first part is what Knesset Yisrael is saying, and Tevasi Bal Alecha is an answer of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Omro Knesset Yisrael lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Knesset Yisrael says to the Rabbeinu Shalom, hachazek li toiva shoydaticha ba'olam, that you should have towards me gratitude, because I have made you known in the world. Adoni Ota, I have made you known as the master of the world. Omar lo, Kodesh Baruch Hu answers back to Klal Yisrael, Toivasi Bal Alecha, that my gratitude is not towards you. Eini machzik toiva el Avram Yitzchak v'Yankov. I only have gratitude towards Avram Yitzchak v'Yankov shohidi uni tchila bo'olam, because they were the first ones to make me known in the world. Shenamar, as it says in the next pasuk in Tehillim, that's the continuation. Likdoish masher ba'oratema va'adirei kol cheftzibom, to the holy ones that are in the earth, those that have already died, and those mighty ones that all of my desire is in them. So Knesset Yisrael says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should have gratitude to Knesset Yisrael for making a Kodesh Baruch Hu known in the world, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu answers to Klal Yisrael, to Knesset Yisrael, that the debt of gratitude is actually towards Avraham Yitzchak V'Yankov, to those mighty ones who have already passed, because they were the ones who were first to make the Rabbeinu Shalom known in the world. So this is the Mili Dagadata that Rabbi Preda said to Rabbi Ezra. Kivin Deshamei Deko Omar Adir, when Rabbi Ezra heard that Rabbi Preda mentioned the word Adir, he darshaned this pasuk of Adirei Kol Chetzivam, that it's referring to Avraham Yitzchak V'Yankov, Pasach V'Omer, then Rabbi Ezra opened up and also said Amili Dagadata and began with the word Adir. Yovoi Adir v'yifra la Adirim me Adirim ba Adirim. The mighty one will come and pay to the mighty from the mighty. He exacts the payment from the mighty with the mighty, and explains himself. Yovoi Adir ze Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The mighty one will come. This is referring to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Dechiv Adir b'morem Hashem. Hashem is mighty on high. V'yifra la Adirim, and he'll pay the Adirim. Eli Yisrael, let's refer to Klal Yisrael, Shenemar, Va'adirei kol chesibom, the mighty ones that my desire is in them. And he learned that that's referring to Klal Yisrael. Me Adirim, he'll pay to them by exacting payment from those mighty ones. Elu HaMitzrim, that's referring to the Mitzrim, Tichziv, Solulu Koyferes B'mayim Adirim, that they sunk like lead in the water. Adirim, the mighty ones, the Mitzrim, the Egyptians. Ba'adirim, with the mighty, Elu Mayim, that's referring to the water of Yamsuf, Shenemar, Mikoyles Mayim, Rabbi Adirim, Mishpere Yom, from the voices of much water, which is mighty and breaking the sea. So he used this term, Yovei Adir, V'yifrel Adirim, Adirim, Ba'adirim, to describe Kriyas Yamsuf, that the mighty one has come and has paid to Klal Yisrael and exacted payment from the Mitzrim through the water. And he continued, Yovoi Yedid ben Yedid, V'yivne Yedid li Yedid, B'chelkoi shel Yedid, V'yiskapru boi Yedidim, that the dear one, who is the son of a dear one, should come and build the that which is dear for the one who is dear, in the portion of the one who is dear, and those who are dear will have kapara in it. He explained himself. Yovoi Yedid ze Shlomei HaMelech, Yovoi Yedid, the dear one, that's referring to Shlomei HaMelech, Dichtiv, as it says in the Pesuk, V'yishlach b'yad Nosan HaNovi, V'yikrishma Yedidyo b'avur Hashem, that he sent a message in the hand of Nosan HaNovi, and he called his name Yedidyo, the dear one of Hashem, because of Hashem, because of the love of Hashem for him. So Shlomei HaMelech is referred to as Yedid. Omid Beis, Ben Yedid, the son of Yedid, Ze Avram. This means the son of Avram Avinu. Dichtiv, Ma'il Yedidi b'Beis, as it says in the Pesuk in Yirmiyah, what is my dear one doing in my house? And as we'll see later on in the Gemara, this pasuk is referring to Avraham Avinu. At the time of the Churban, Avraham Avinu came to the destroyed Beis HaMikdash to be mispal for Klal Yisrael. The Yivne Yedid, and he will build this Shloimei, who is a descendant of Avraham Avinu, will build that which is dear to the Beis HaMikdash. This is referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Dechsiv Ma Yedidus Mishkanei Secha, how dear is your dwelling place. This is referring to the Beis HaMikdash. liyadid, he will build this for the dear ones, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chsiv, as it says in the Pasek, Ashira not liyadidi, I will sing on behalf of my dear one, meaning I will sing this song on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bechelko shel yadidi, in the portion of the dear ones, Zeb Binyamin, this means in the portion of Binyamin, where the Beit HaMikdash was built. Shenemar, as it says, Binyamin Omar, Yadid Hashem, Yishkan Levet HaKalav, he said to Binyamin that you are the dear one of Hashem, and he will dwell in security on it. Biskapruboy Yedidim, and the dear ones will find kapora, will be atoned in it. Elu Yisrael, that's referring to Klal Yisrael. Dichsiv Nasati as Yedidus Nafshi Bekaf Oyvel. The Rosh Baruch says at the time of the Churban that I have given those who are dear to my soul in the hand of their enemies. So these Yedidim will have kapora in the Beis Hamikdash. And he continued, Yovay Toiv V'Yakabel Toiv Mitoiv L'Toivim. The good one should come and receive that which is good from the good one for the good ones. Yovei Toiv the Moshe. The good one should come. This is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Where do we find that Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to as Toiv? Dechtiv Atera Oisai Ki Toiv. It says when he was born that she saw that he was Toiv, that he was good. Yikabel Toiv, and he should receive that which is referred to as Toiv Zu Torah. This is referring to the Torah. Dechtiv Ki Lekach Toiv Nasati Lachem. I've given you a good acquisition. Mi Toiv from the good one, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dechtiv Toiv Hashem Lakol. That Hashem is good to everyone. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Toiv, Vatoivim for the good, Elu Yisrael, that's referring to Yisrael, Dechtiv Heitiva Hashem, Latoivim, that Hashem does good to the good, and this is a reference to Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes and receives the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Ezra continued, Yavoy Ze, V'yikabel Zois, Mize, La'am Zu. That the one who is referred to as Ze will come and receive that which is referred to as Zois, as this, from the one who is referred to as Zeh, for the nation which is called Am Zu. Yovei Zeh the Moshe. Zeh is referring to Moshe. Dechtiv ki Zeh Moshe ha'ish. Moshe Rabbeinu is called this Moshe, the man. So he's called Zeh. V'yikabel Zois, he should receive that which is referred to as Zois Zu HaTorah. That's referring to the Torah. Dechtiv Zois HaTorah Shavsa Moshe. This is the Torah which Moshe has given. So it's called Zois. Mizeh, from the one who is called Zeh, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dechtiv Zeh Keili V'Anveihu, this is my Ribbono Shel, and I will beautify him. La'am Zu, to the nation which is called Zu, Elu Yisrael, Shenemar Am Zu Kanisa, this is the nation which you have acquired. Continues the Gemara, Om Rabbi Yitzchak. The Gemara before mentioned that Avraham Avinu is referred to as Yedid, as it says in the Pasuk, Ma'al Yedidi Bevesi. Now the Gemara brings the Drush concerning that Pasuk, those Psukim in Yirmiyah. The Psukim in Yirmiyah Yud Aleph, Psukim Tes Vav and Tes Zayin, read as follows, Ma'al Yedidi Bevesi, what is my dear one doing in my house? Asoisa Hamazimasa Harabim, doing that the evil counsel, the many are doing the evil counsel, uvisar kodesh yavru me'aloyech, and you have removed from yourself the holy flesh, referring to bris milah, kira osechi oz ta'aloizi, because when you do evil, that's when you rejoice. And apostate to Zion, zayis zanon yefei pri toyar kor Hashem shmech, that a flourishing olive tree, beautiful of with fruit, of a very beautiful kind, Hashem has called your name, B'koil hamuva g'doyla, to the sound of a great tumult, Hitzis eisha leha, has he set fire to it, V'rohu doli yosav, and its branches have been broken. And now the Gemara darshans the different parts of this pasuk. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak said, B'shoa shechorev Beis HaMikdash, the time when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Metzoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Avram, Shoya Oymid b'Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu found Avram Avinu that he was standing in the Beis HaMikdash. Omaloy HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, Mali Yedidi b'Beisi, what is my dear one doing in my house? What are you, Avram Avinu, who are my dear one, what are you doing in my house in this destroyed Beis HaMikdash? Omaloy Avram Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Iskei Bonai Bosi, I've come concerning my sons. Their Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed and they've been sent into exile. Omar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Bonecha Chotu, your sons, your children have sinned, V'galu, and they've gone into exile. Omar Lo Avraham Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema B'Shegig Chotu, maybe they sinned inadvertently. Omar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, Asoisa HaMazimasa, that they have done their evil counsel, that which they have done is b'mezid, that it's with intention that they have done these evil acts. Omar Lo Avraham Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Miyuton Chotu, maybe it's only a minority of them who have sinned. Omar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Harabim, that's the next word in that pasuk, Asoisa HaMazimasa Harabim, it's the many who have sinned, not the minority. Avraham Avinu continued, Hoyu v'chol lizkar bris mila, you should have remembered the covenant of mila, that should have been a tchus for them. Amalek Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, Uvasar Kodesh Yavru Mealoich, that you have even passed, you've even taken away from yourself the holy flesh, you've taken away from yourself the Bris Milah. So Avraham Avinu says to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Shema im tamto lehem hayu chozrim b'tshuva. Maybe if you would have waited for them, they would have repented. They would have done tshuva. Amalai Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, Kiro asechi oz ta'aloizi, that you do evil when you are rejoicing. That when they are rejoicing, when they are happy, they do evil, and therefore it was no point in letting them wait, because when they are happy, when they are not being sent into Golos, then they just do more evil. Miyad hiniach yolav al roishay. Immediately, Avraham Avinu put his hands on his head. V'hayitzayeku boich, and he was screaming out and crying. V'omer loy, and he said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shema chas v'shalom ein lehem takana. Perhaps chas v'shalom, there is no rectification for them. There's no hope for them. Yotzes abaskol v'omer loy. Abaskol came out and said to him the following pasuk, which is the next pasuk in Yirmiyah. Zayis ranon yefei pri toyar kor Hashem shmech. That is Zayis ranon, a flourishing olive tree, yefei pri toyar, with a fruits which are beautiful of shape, Hashem has called your name. That Klal Yisrael are compared to a Zayis. Ma Zayis zu acharisoi b'soifoi. Its final product, its purpose, comes only in the end, as Rashi explains, because it's planted and then it takes a very long time until it can actually give fruits. Af Yisrael acharisoi b'soifoi. So also Klal Yisrael, their final product and their hope is b'soifoi, is in their end. It takes a long time, but eventually they will come through. And the pasuk continues, L'koil hamula g'doyla hitzis esh oleho v'rohu dol yosef. To the sound of a great tumult, he set fire to it, and its branches, because it's referring to Klal Yisrael, has been compared to a zayas, and it says that its branches have been broken. Omer Rabbi China nor Bar Papa. Rabbi China Bar Papa said, L'kol milein shel meradim. What is this referring to? L'koil hamula g'doyla, that Kodesh Baruch Hu set fire to it. To the voice, to the sound of this great hamula, of this great tumult, he darshens hamula from the word mila, a word, the kol milein shel meraglim, to the sound of the words of the meraglim, nisrei'ahu dal yoseihen shel Yisrael, the branches of Klal Yisrael have been broken because of the terrible words that were said by the meraglim. As we know that the meraglim came back on Tisha B'Av, that's when they gave the report, that's when they said these words, and that the Beis Hamikdash was also destroyed on Tisha B'Av. So it was at that time that it was nigza that they would go into Golis. The Omer Rabbi Chinan of Bar Papa, the Rabbi Chinan of Bar Papa said, Dover Godol Dibru Meraglim Ba'ois HaShot, that a very great thing, a very terrible thing, the Meraglim spoke at that time. They said, Ki Chazaku Mimenu means because it is stronger, the people in the land of Canaan are stronger than us. Al tikri mimenu ela mimenu. Don't read it mimenu that they're stronger than us. Rather, mimenu they're stronger than him. Rashi in Soita, where this Gemara is also brought, is not gairith al tikri, because it's not really a change in the way of reading the words. It's a question of interpretation. But he's saying, don't interpret it to mean that he is stronger than us. It means he is stronger than him. Kiviyochol, as if it could be said, ashafilu balabayas and yochol lahoitzi kelevisham, that even the balabayas, the owner of the house, can't take his vessels out of there. That they are stronger, kiviyochol chas v'shalom from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a very, very terrible thing that they said, and that this was what broke the branches of Yisrael later on at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Matkifo Rabbi Chiya Bar Chinina, Rabbi Chiya Bar Chinina, Rabbi Acha Bar Chinina says in the Shita, ask the Kasha on this Pshat, Hai l'kol hamula g'doyla, l'kol mila, l'kol mula miboyle. It says in the Pasuk, l'kol hamula g'doyla, with a hey at the beginning. According to your drasha, that it means words, it should have said l'kol mila g'doyla, l'kol mula g'doyla, to the sound of those great words. Why does it say hamula? Ella, rather, Amalei Kodesh Baruch Hu Avram. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Avram, Kol Choshamati VeChamalti Aleim. I have heard your voice. I've heard your tefillah, and I take pity upon them. The Kol Hamula G'doyla, that to the sound of great pity, Hamula, as if it would say with a Ches Hamula Chemla, with great pity, I am setting fire to it and breaking the branches of Yisrael. But nonetheless, that there is pity for Klal Yisrael. In what way is this pity shown? Ani Amarti Ishtabdu Ba'arba Malchios Kol Achas Va'achas Kishir Arba Malchios. I originally said that they would be enslaved to the Arba Malchios, the four kingdoms. The Arba Malchios are, of course, Bovel, Yovan, Poras, and Edom. I said that they would be enslaved to each one of these four Malchias, like the entire amount of the four Malchias. We know that Klal Yisrael has been enslaved to four Malchias, and there's a total amount of the Golis between these four malchias. And I said originally, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that that total amount would be for each one of the malchias, so that the total of galus would be four times as long. Now that you've been mispala, I've accepted your tefillah, and each one will be that which has been fixed for it, that they will be mishtabed, that they will be enslaved by each malchus according to the amount that was fixed for it, but not by each one of the four malchus, the total of the amount of galus. The Ikad Amri, and some say, some express the same idea in different words. Ani amati b'zeachazeh, I said that they would be in these Arba Malchias one after the other. In other words, that each one of the Arba Malchias, they would be an entire period of Golis, and that after the first entire period of Golis, they would go to the second, and then to the third, and then to the fourth. Asha v'vasachas, now it's v'vasachas, it's all at the same time. In other words, that the period of Golis is an enslavement to all of the Arba Malchias at the same time, in this long period of Golis. So that there's only one long period of Golis that has to be gone through, and not four times that amount. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, Lama nimshlu Yisrael azayas? Why are Kal Yisrael compared to an olive tree in this posik? Loimer l'cha to tell you, ma zayas, ein olav noishrin lo b'maisach chama v'lo b'maisach shomim. Just as an olive tree, its leaves do not fall, neither in the summer nor in the winter. The leaves always remain on the tree. Af Yisrael, ein lehem b'tei lo olamis, lo b'olam hazeh v'lo b'olam haba. So also, Yisrael never have an annulment. They never cease, neither in this world nor in the world to come. For Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Lo menim shulu Yisrael l'zayas. Why are Yisrael compared to a zayas, to an olive tree? Lo yimel l'cha to tell you, ma zayas enu moitzi shamnoi el al yedei ksisa. Just as a zayas only gives out its oil, the final product is the oil of the olives, it's only given out through ksisa, through crushing of the olives, af Yisrael en chayzer l'mutav el al yedei yisurin. So also Klal Yisrael only come back to the right way, that they only do tshuva through Yisurin, through chastisement. And that's why they are compared to the olive. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that Klal Yisrael are compared to the olive tree because it is Ein lehem b'tei lo'olamis, loy bo'olam hazeh, v'loy bo'olam haba.